right, LifePoint Church, how are we doing today? Good. I like it. I don't know what you all just said. It sounded like blah, blah, but that's good. I'll take it. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint Church, and we are so excited and thankful that you are here with us today, hanging out, worshiping, doing life together, and celebrating just really what God has done in our lives and what he has in store for us. So we're thankful that you're here with us today. And today is the fifth and final week of our current message series that we're in called Keep It Positive, right? That's right. Thumbs up. It's good times. But what we've been looking at is that in reality, the life and the world that we live in is extremely negative at times. Like there's just negativity that just swirls around us like 24/7. I mean, it is just all around us. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at God's word and scripture to help us to learn how to keep it positive, right? And how to move in such a way in this life that we can be positive and that we can share the love of Christ and live the love of Christ from a positive perspective. So over the past 4 weeks, we've looked at things and we've talked about from scripture on how to be optimistic, right? Being grateful, being encouraging. Last week we talked about being enthusiastic. And today we're going to wrap up this series with discussing and looking at scripture about being confident. Being confident. In order to keep it positive, we've got to be confident, right? But the reality is how many of you all would say, like honestly, that you struggle with confidence in some area of your life? Like just some area of your life. Not every area, but some, right? Some of y'all weren't confident even raising your hand. You're just afraid. You're worried. But it's the truth. I mean, we all have some area of our life that we're lacking in that confidence. We're insecure. Maybe it's that we're just insecure about, you know, what the future has in store, and we're worried about that, and so it starts to rob our confidence, man. We don't feel like we're going to be successful, or we're not confident that we'll ever measure up to maybe what our parents, you know, envisioned for us, or we don't measure up for what our boss, you know, has, you know, thinks that we should be, like to his standard or her standard, right? Or we don't measure up to what we think our spouse's expectation is, or even our own expectation of ourselves, right? We have all these different doubts and insecurities. I mean, in the world we live in today, I'm sure that there's plenty of people here that lack confidence in your own personal appearance, right? I mean, I don't know, you know, about you all, but I think it's safe to say that most people, if they were honest, would say, you know, there's this one thing about my, at least one thing about my appearance that I wish I could change, that I'm not really confident in. Just at least one, maybe a lot. But we're lacking that confidence. And so it begins to rob our joy. It begins to sideline us. It keeps us out of the game because we don't have confidence. And so many of us battle that insecurity. I know I battle that insecurity. And a lot of us, we fall into that trap primarily because at times of our negative self-talk, right? We can't keep it positive in our own minds, right? We have negative self-talk, which leads to insecurity, which leads to no confidence, right? I know for me, there's plenty of times that I should be thinking to myself, you know what, Andy, you got this. You can do this. But instead, I'm like, man, this is big. Don't screw this up, right? Or like, who are you fooling? Like, you can't do this. You're not going to get this done. And that negative self-talk, it breeds insecurity. And it rattles us, and it jars us, and again, it just keeps us sidelined. You know, but when I think of lack of confidence or insecurity, I think there's some funny elements to it as well that all kind of just play out, and they're kind of humorous. But, you know, like when you think about it, people that are insecure, they tend to, like, overcompensate for things, right? So, you know, or they compensate in just weird ways. So, you know, one is pretty natural. They'll just, if they're insecure about something, they'll just, you just don't do it, right? You just avoid it. Or you start talking bad about it. I mean, that's ridiculous. I would never want that car. In reality, is you wish you had that car, and you're not confident because you feel less than, you feel insecure. So you start talking down about it. Or you overcompensate for everything, and you act like, you know, you're the most confident person in the world, and you're walking around like you're arrogant. In reality, you're probably the most insecure person in the room because you over-exaggerate, you overcompensate. Insecurity does some crazy things. I think over my 33 years of life so far, I've experienced, I've done, and lived these kind of different like modes of insecurity or like different aspects of insecurity in my life. And I found that there's like three kind of typical insecure people. Again, I've been all three at some point in time, but we see there's, you know, insecure people, they become people pleasers, right? They'll do anything to please somebody. Like, you know, your boss is a terrible person or, you know, they're terrible at the job and you're like, hey, great job today. You know, I like that shirt. You know, or hey, you need some money? I got some money. I'll give you some money. Or you don't like the way I did that? Oh, let me do it. How do you like? I'll do it this way. Oh, you don't like this shirt? Well, I'll burn it. I'll get rid of it. I'll never wear it again. What shirt do you like? Yeah, it's those people pleasers. They're insecure, so they do whatever they can to please other people. Then there's the fishers, right? The ones that, you know, out on Instagram, they'll post a picture and they'll be like, man, I don't know about this new haircut. Just wait, just leave that there. And they bait them. And then someone's like, oh, no, what are you talking about? I love it. It looks great. In fact, it doesn't even matter. You can shave your old head, you still look great. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Get that little boost, right? Get that little confidence. You fish for those things. Or you know, you'll post something like, man, I just, or you'll say something at work, man, after a presentation, like, I felt off my game. I didn't feel like I did that presentation well. And you just kind of sit it out there waiting for them to say, no, you killed it. You did great. And then you're like, yeah, that's right. And you feel good about yourself. They're the fishers. And then there's my favorite, are the one-uppers. How many of y'all know some one-uppers out there? That's right. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like, you're like, you know what? My son, he just started guitar lessons the other day. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. Well, my son is doing guitar lessons and voice lessons and actually is getting ready to cut their first album, like, tomorrow. And their teacher said, you know, they're probably going to have a record deal real soon. And you're like, okay, cool. Or you're like, man, I just didn't feel good last week. I had some kind of stomach bug or something. I just wasn't feeling great. And they're like, yeah, I know how you feel. Man, I had this, like, crazy disease that just really just threw, you know, I mean, just put me down for a long time. And, you know, and really it was a new discovery. I'm the first person to ever have it. And actually, they're going to name the disease after me. And you're like, okay, right on, you know. Those one-uppers, they're out there. And they do that just sometimes without even thinking because they're just insecure. I mean, insecurity does crazy things. It makes us act in just bizarre ways. And I think another interesting thing is that you know, insecurity can be triggered by just some of the like most meaningless, silly, ridiculous things at times. But it triggers it, and it just builds in us. You know, just Friday, me and Jen and the kids went out to eat out on Dixie Highway, a little hole-in-the-wall pizza joint with some friends of ours. And it's trust me, it's a hole in the wall. But we went there, and it's great pizza, but it's not the best environment, and it's kind of grody. And so Amelia has like this slap bracelet, and she drops it on the floor, and I'm like, oh, that's gross. It's on the carpet. And then she gets up, starts playing with it, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. And the next thing I know, I'm talking to someone, and then she comes up from behind me and like wraps this thing around my beard. So then I'm like really disgusted. And then I look over, and, you know, our friend's son, who's like 4, he's playing with my phone, and then he just sits it on the ground and walks away. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. So then I make just some, you know, like trying to make myself feel better. I make some, like, joking comment to Jen, and I use a slang terminology for the carpet. I'm not going to use it right now. But I use this slang word, and Jen just looks at me, and she's like, no. She's like, don't ever say that again. You sound like an old dude that's trying to stay relevant, and you don't know what you're talking about. And, man, it stung a little bit. You know, I'm like, oh. And Amelia's over there cracking up laughing. She thinks it's the greatest thing ever. But, you know, it started to birth a little insecurity, right? I'm not apology not accepted. But it births a little insecurity. And even though that's kind of a ridiculous example, it shows that it can be something small, and then it blows up into something major. And it's unfortunate because the smallest insecurity can sideline us, can keep us out of the game. It can keep us from doing what it is that God created us to do. Because in reality, when we're insecure, we don't have confidence. A lot of times, again, we just avoid whatever it is. You know, think about it this way. If you're not good at a sport or a hobby or an activity, your natural inclination is just to avoid it. Just don't do it. Don't even try. Right? Or if you're you know, in school and you need to take this class and you're afraid that you're not going to do well in it, you just like, okay, I'll just drop that class. That professor's crazy, and I'm going to take this class. We just avoid it. I think about it this way. How many of you all ever asked someone out on a date before doing like a little vetting first through a friend, right? Like, hey, will you find out if I ask them out on a date if they're going to say yes or no? And if they say no, then we're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to ask. I'm not even going to bother, right? Because we don't want to be rejected. We have that insecurity, that fear of that. And the tragedy is that many of us here today, many of us, we're living a life of insecurity. And what it's doing is it's keeping us from having confidence in areas where we actually should have confidence. And what it does is it keeps us from doing the things that God created us to do and being the person that God created us to be, because we should have confidence. But we don't. We struggle. We wallow in it. Maybe there's someone here today that, man, you're not going after this new job, and you're not interviewing for this job or going after this promotion because you're afraid you're not good enough. Right? You're insecure. Or maybe, you know, you're not going back to school because you feel like you're too old, or you just don't know that you can actually make it through, or you're going to actually pass and graduate, so you just don't. Maybe you want to serve in a ministry here at LifePoint or lead a community group, but you're afraid that you don't know enough. You don't know enough about the Bible, or you're afraid that, you know, if you do lead a community group that no one will come. You know, they won't want to join your group. So you don't do anything. I don't know what it is for you, but if you're letting insecurity dictate what you do, you're missing out on opportunities. You're missing out on God-given opportunities to do and be what God created you to be. That's why I think this fifth and final message of this series is so important. And honestly, it's very, very important to me. I'm very passionate about this topic because I struggle with this. Like, just full disclosure, this is one of my greatest areas of weakness is insecurity. So this is really important. So in order for us to keep it positive, we have to figure out how to be confident. So to kick this thing off, I want to share with you a foundational principle that we're going to look at that's going to help us to gain this confidence, to have confidence. And what I want you to see is this. It says we don't need self-confidence, we need God confidence. Right? We don't need self-confidence, focusing in on ourselves, but we need confidence that only comes from God. I'm not going to tell you that you need to boost your self-confidence. I'm going to tell you you need to boost and develop and cultivate God confidence, because that's where the win is. That's how we're going to actually do this, is to develop that God confidence. And we find this principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, and this is out of the Message translation of the Bible, which is a paraphrase version. It's not a literal word-for-word translation, but I like how it says this, and it fits nicely into this. So check it out. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and it says, forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Man, it's no good. It's not going to sustain you. So forget about self-confidence. Paul continues and says, cultivate God confidence, right? Forget about the self-confidence, because that's not going to sustain you. It's not going to get you where you need to go. It's basically useless. But when you can ask God and just start to develop confidence in Him, a God confidence, it's powerful. And you can remain confident. It's lasting. We have to develop God confidence, not self-confidence. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if you have self-confidence, it's a bad thing, or that you shouldn't have self-confidence. That's okay, because see, God gave you certain skills and abilities and gifts for you to use in doing what it is that He's created you to do, what He's called you to do. And if you're confident in those things, that's good. That's a positive thing. But what I'm saying is that I don't want you to just focus on self-confidence alone. If you want to maximize and live a life that completely glorifies God, you have to cultivate and develop that God confidence. That cannot come from self-confidence alone. It's just not going to. See, Scripture tells us that our flesh is weak, right? And that our heart is deceitful. That's our natural state. So therefore, if we only depended on self-confidence, we're only fooling ourselves. We're going to deceive ourselves, right? We're weak in that regard. But with God confidence, we can move things forward. We can have that confidence through Him. So, of course, how do we do this? Sounds great in theory. It's all good. But how do we do this? How do we cultivate and develop that in our life, especially in a world that is so negative, that throws all these different things out at us all the time, that builds and breeds our insecurities? our lack of confidence? How do we develop God confidence? And I want to share with you three truths from Scripture that I hope and pray will help you to shift from that useless and weak self-confidence and develop a powerful and lasting God confidence. So check it out. Three truths to help us to cultivate this God confidence. And the first thing that we see and that we need to understand and internalize is that my God is always for me. If you want to have God confidence, you have to understand that your God is 100% for you, always. He's got your back. Your God is for you. A simple truth in theory, right? But not one that's easy to accept and embrace and live in and live from. It's a tough truth that God is always for you. See, because I think a lot of times we have this flawed view of God's true nature, of who he is, of his character, right? We fall into the performance trap. We've talked about it before, you know, where we feel like that God's love and his favor and that his acceptance only hinges and depends on our performance, right? That we have to, you know, to be good in order for God to love us, right? That if I had, you know, I had a really good day, man, I didn't screw up in any of those major areas. I prayed, I read my Bible, so I could probably, you know, go ahead and pray and God will bless me today, or he might answer my prayer. Or if, you know, oh man, I messed up, you know, that dude from Texas cut me off and I threw all kinds of cuss words at him and flipped him off, you know, or whatever it might be, you know, it's like, well, I better not pray today because, you know, and there's going to be no answer. In fact, I better kind of watch out because he's about to rain down some punishment on me or something, right? We get into that performance trap. But see, we got to understand that none of us will consistently have good spiritual days. Man, we're flawed people. We will always fall short. That doesn't give us an excuse to go live how we want to live, but we have to understand that we are flawed people. And newsflash, God knows that. He understands that. And see, we have a loving Heavenly Father. The song earlier, you're a good Father, man. He loves us. And he sent his Son to face the cross so that we could be forgiven. Right, so that we don't have to live from a performance trap, so that we can be made right in his presence through Christ. He's a good Father. He's always for us, always for us. And because of that, we can fully embrace his mercy and his grace and his unmerited love because he's a good Father, because he loves us, because he's always for you. I always think one of the perfect ways to understand this concept is from a parent's perspective. How many parents do we have out here? Parents, right. Do any of you all, or is there ever a day that you wake up and you're like, man, I just hope something bad for my kids? I mean, I know you love them. I know they're trying. But do you ever just think that? Like, man, I hope Johnny screws up today so that I can bring some punishment. He can get what he deserves. Put your hand down over there. You're blowing my analogy here. No, but we don't. We don't. We don't come from that perspective with our kids. We love our kids. We're always for them. We want what's best for them. We want them to be blessed. We want them to win. We are always for our kids. I am always for Amelia and Sawyer. Always. And will always be. Even if they do things that I don't agree with. Even if they choose go down a path that I don't like. It might hurt, but I will always be for them. Always. How many of y'all have had to punish your kids before and it hurt you emotionally, right? You don't like that. We've got to think of this the same way with our Heavenly Father. He is always for us. He will never not be for us. He's all about us. He loves us. He has our back. He wants nothing but the best for us. And sure, when we go off and do our own thing and we say we got this God and then we go and we do whatever, sure, it grieves him, but he's still for us. He's always for us and he's waiting for us to come back to him. He's our Heavenly Father and he's good. He's always for you, so that should give us confidence. All right, Romans 8:31, Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who could ever be against us?" man, I love this verse. I'm like, I have to remind myself of this verse all the time when I face insecurities or just things that feel like they're pressing up against me, that God is for me. And if he's for me, then who could ever be against me? And see, when we start to live from this and understand this, we start to understand that we can live from God's approval, not for his approval, not for the performance trap. We're not constantly saying, God, look at me, like, please approve of me, please approve of me. No, we live from his approval because he approves of us. He loves us already. He's got our back. And it's because of Christ that he approves of us, not because of anything that we have ever done or will ever do or could ever do. If it was left up to us to try to go through that performance track to earn his approval, we'd all be in trouble, every single one of us. There's not one of us that would be able to gain that. But it's because of Christ we're made right with him, because of the sacrifice that he made. And because of that, we can journey through life with the utmost confidence, knowing that God is for us. And we live from his approval that we already have. He accepts us because of his son. And we have to claim that. We have to know that if you are a Christ follower, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are approved of. He loves you. You don't have to do anything else. And that fact should drive you to want to serve him and glorify him with everything, with all of your being, and give you the utmost confidence because your God is for you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this. He says, so do not throw away this confidence. Don't throw away this confidence. Trust this confident. Trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. And don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord, because he's for you. That's your great reward, is that you have confidence knowing that he's got your back. He is for you. So that should help us to develop that God confidence that we so desperately need. The second truth that we see from Scripture to help us to develop this God confidence is that my God always helps me. He always helps me. He is the great helper. Right? And I don't know about you all, but I need a lot of help. I need that. And how comforting it is to know that the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, is here to help me. Man, that gets me jazzed. I don't know about you all, but he's there to help me because I need a lot of help. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. A lot of us have heard that. Check out verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid, for what can mere mortals do to me? And we can be confident. We have a God confidence, and we can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. See, a lot of us live and go through life with a lot of fear. A fear of the unknown, fear of something bad that could happen or whatever. But with God, with him walking point for us and being with us and taking lead and being our helper, we don't have to be afraid. He removes all fear. When you walk with somebody or you're going through something with somebody that they know what they're doing and they can help you through it, it gives you confidence, right? It starts to remove that fear. I know I've talked about this before, but I'm not a very handy person around the house. It's just not my thing. So, and I don't really think it's because of a lack of ability. It's more or less fear. I'm afraid that I'm going to screw something up. Like, if I'm going to try to fix this, I'll end up screwing it up worse, or I'll start to fix that, and then I'll break this, and then the whole house is going to collapse, you know, or something ridiculous like that. So, you know, or that I'm going to, you know, hurt myself. I don't know. I have all kinds of fear around that. So what that does is that leads me to avoid, because I don't have confidence in that, right? So, for example, we had a light, like a recessed light in our shower that was probably out for about 6+ years, because, you know, I went to change it like 6.5 years ago or whatever, and, the bulb broke off. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't know what to do. I mean, I've seen, the old, potato and all that, but I'm like, I don't know how that works. So I just didn't do anything. Like, Sawyer really didn't even realize that we had a light in there. I mean, this kid's 6 years old. He's like, wow, there's a light in here. So I didn't fix it. I just didn't, you know. And then we have a little half bath, and, I went to change out all the guts in the toilet, and then something wasn't sealing right, and I couldn't get it, I'd flush it, water to go everywhere. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I just say, hey, we're not using that bathroom anymore. For almost a year. It's ridiculous. And then we had, you know, our garage door motor went out. There's, you know, it just wasn't working. It would just run, but the door wouldn't lift up. I'm like, all right, well, no garage door. My father-in-law had a brand new motor saying, hey, come get it whenever you want. I'm just like, I don't know how to fix that, so whatever. Because I was afraid. So I just didn't do anything. It's ridiculous. I know it drives Jen crazy. But I just didn't. But all it took was my dad coming over to give me a little bit of confidence because he was going to help me. Or a phone call to Kent, you know, on all the electrical stuff. I've had a few of those random phone calls to him, like, hey, talk me through this so I don't burn the house down or blow myself up. So once I got some help from them and they were kind of walking point and guiding me through that, all fear was removed. And I was able to take care of all those things pretty easily. I'm like, oh, that was pretty simple. 6 years, ridiculous. I know, you can judge me. I don't blame you. I'm okay with that. But the fear was removed because I had a helper that knew what they were doing. And so I trusted that, and it lifted that burden off. All fear was gone because I knew I was going to be okay because they were helping me. Man, it's the same thing with God. He is the ultimate helper. So we should be able to journey and walk through life with no fear, knowing that he's helping us along the way. He's got our backs. He's there for us. He's our helper. Maybe there's some of you this morning that, man, you're in a difficult situation, and you really, really need some help. You need to recognize God as your helper. You need to embrace that truth. You know, maybe it's that your marriage is struggling, and you need God to help you in your marriage, to restore your marriage and bring healing to your marriage. Maybe that you're stressed out and have a lot of financial fears, and you need to trust God as the helper for your finances. See, because God loves to provide for his kids. He loves to help us. Maybe you've got a difficult conversation that you need to have, and you're kind of worried about it. You're afraid you're going to say the wrong things. Maybe it's at your work or in your personal life with your family, or maybe here at LifePoint. You feel like you need to have a difficult conversation, but you're afraid. You need to trust that God is going to help you to have the right words to say the right things. If you need wisdom, man, God's going to provide you wisdom. He's going to help you with that. And James tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, our God gives it freely to whoever asks. See, he's our helper. And because of that, we can have confidence, and it should remove all fear, knowing that he is the ultimate helper. Psalms 46, verse 1 says this beautifully. He says, God is our refuge and strength. He's our refuge. He's our strength. An ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. He's always with you. He's always there for you. He's always your helper. When you're going through one of the most difficult times of your life, your God is your helper. He is there for you, always. Even when you don't feel it. Even if in that moment it's just so heavy you don't feel that God's there, when you look back over time, you're going to see, man, God was helping me through that. God was navigating. He was orchestrating all those things. He was helping because he's our refuge and strength. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. So we can have God confidence in our life because he is always for us and he is our helper. He's always going to help us. The third and final truth that we see here is that my God is still working in me. My God is still working in me. Thank you, Jesus. He's still working in me and he's still working in you. Man, he's working in me. He's helping me to work through those insecurities. He's helping me to form that God confidence. He's helping me to move past my flaws and my weaknesses and my failures to help me to become a better person, a better follower of him, stronger relationship with him, a better pastor, a better father, a better husband, all of those things. He's still working in me. So we can be confident in that. We can gain confidence and live from that, knowing that he's still working on us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. For those of you who have accepted Christ, he has started a new work in you. And right here in Scripture, in Philippians 1, 6, he's promising that he will continue that good work. He's not done with you yet. He's still working in you. Sure, maybe you screwed up big time this week and you're wallowing in some of that guilt and that shame and you're really struggling with that. Understand that he's not done with you. He's still working in you. Maybe you're struggling with some spiritual doubts, and maybe you've been coming to church for a while, or you've been, you know, a Christ follower for a while, but you're still having those doubts, and you're like, man, I feel like I should be past this by now. I feel like I should be past this doubt. Take heart. He's not done with you yet. He's still working in you. He's still moving you in a direction. As long as you're seeking, he's moving you forward. Maybe you fall victim to some of those old sins that you kind of struggle with, those flaws that you just kind of keep going back to. You feel like you do a little better with it, and then bam, you fall back on your face again, and you're just really struggling with that specific sin, and you feel like you should be past that by now. You should have victory over that in my life. I feel like that, but God's not done with you. He's still working on you. He's still working in you. Or maybe that you just feel completely, you know, discouraged and maybe terrible and disconnected from God because you've walked away from him and you walked away from church. Or maybe it's someone that's listening on the podcast right now and they just kind of checked out and they're just kind of tuning in every once in a while. And you just feel heavy because of that. You feel disconnected from God. Know that he's still working in you. He's not done with you yet. He has plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He's got a plan for your life. And we need that confidence. We need that God confidence. And we need to understand that he's still working in us. He's not done with us. It says, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He's going to continue to work and shape and mold you more into his image. And that should be our focus. That should be our goal. That should be our confidence, is in him, that he's still working in us. So again, as I said earlier, a little transparency here. This is my biggest struggle. One of my biggest weaknesses is that I'm very insecure. I may, you know, present from time to time, most of the time, as a very confident person, or sit up here, a very confident person. Some people are like, man, there's no way I could talk in front of people. Of course, you're confident. But I really struggle with insecurity, especially when it comes to this. Man, I feel like at times that I'm not good enough for this role in this church. I don't give LifePoint enough time of my time. And then I feel on the other side, like, you know, with my job at Experience, I feel like I'm not a good director. And then I feel like this insecurity that, man, I'm not giving my family enough of my time and energy and focus. And I just kind of struggle with that insecurity. And I'm like, man, I'm not knowledgeable enough to be in this role, to lead this incredible church. I mean, who am I? Who am I? And I struggle. I have insecurities and I have doubts and I have fears. But yet, I'm learning to be confident. Not in myself, but in God. Because if it was left up to myself, we'd all be in trouble. Because I understand that about myself. I understand that I'm not perfect, that I have flaws. I get that. That's why I'm not going to focus on self-confidence, but I'm going to focus and develop and cultivate God confidence. Because with him, I can do anything. Because he's for me. Regardless, he's for me. He's going to help me. He's going to walk point for me. He's my helper. Right? And then he's going to continue to work in me. We're all thankful for that. Because I have a lot of things to be worked on. But I can take confidence in that. If I ever had a reason to be confident, it's in those things. Not in myself, but in God. And I don't know what it is for you this morning. I don't know what voices of insecurity you're facing and that you're hearing that's being whispered into your ear. I don't know what it is. But what I do know is that you need to cultivate God confidence. You need God confidence in your life. In order to keep it positive, you need that God confidence. You need to embrace scripture, the truth in scripture when it says that God is always for you, that he is always going to help you, and that he's still working in you. You've got to stop relying on your fleeting self-confidence, man. I'm telling you, it's no good. It's useless. And you need to embrace God confidence in your life and develop that and cultivate. So today, choose to keep it positive and focus on cultivating God confidence. Let's pray. God, God, we thank you so much for the fact that you are our source of confidence. God, that it's not left up to just us, but that you are our source of confidence and that you're for us and that you help us and that you're working in us. God, and we're so incredibly thankful for that, God. And I pray that each and every person here, God, that you would speak to them and they would hear exactly what it is that you would say to them and that what that next steps they need to take. But as we continue in prayer, maybe you're here today and you just, this whole God confidence thing just completely doesn't register to you because you've never entered into that relationship with God. You've never stepped over that line of faith and placed your faith and trust completely in him. And if that's you this morning, I'm telling you, today is the day just to call out to God and give him your all. Just lay it all on the line. Because he loves you. He's a good father. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross, a vicious, just hellacious death for you, so that you could be forgiven. He shed his blood to cover that, so you could be made right with God. He did that for you, and then he raised victoriously, defeating death out on the grave for you. And if you're here today and you've never stepped over that faith line of faith, you've never placed your faith and trust in him, if he's leading you right now, I encourage you just to answer his call. And if that's you, you just call out to him however he leads, and you put your faith and trust in him and only him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he rose from the grave, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, just cry out to God however he leads. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you confessing and believing with your heart, whole heart. But if that's you and you really just kind of don't know where to say, how to talk to God, just say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again for me so that I could be forgiven and so that I could have eternal life with you. God, I confess that I have flaws and that I'm not perfect and I'm in desperate need of a Savior. So God, I'm asking you and only you to be my Savior today. God, save me. And it's your name we pray. Amen. With our heads still bowed, if that was your prayer today, I'm telling you, in this very moment, he has started that new work in you. You are a new creation and he will complete that. He will continue to work in you from this day forward. And if that's you, man, I'm telling you, it was the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. And if you would, we ask that you would just mark that on your connection card. That doesn't do anything other than let us know the decision you made. Or if you don't want to do that, you can come talk to me or one of the staff members after the service. We want to celebrate with you, and we want to be able to help guide you on your next step of the journey in connection with Christ. The next thing would be believers baptism, and we're actually having a baptism service next week. So if you want to more information about that, or if you gave your life to Christ today, come talk to me about that. I'd love to have a conversation. But as we continue in prayer, maybe you are a Christ follower, but you just your confidence is gone. It's tanked. It's in the dumps. And you're insecure, and it's leaving you sidelined. Man, I want to encourage you today to embrace God's word. Embrace who he is. Embrace the fact that he loves you, that he's for you. It doesn't matter what you did last night. He's for you right now in this very moment. And he wants nothing more than you to run into his arms because he's a good father. He will always be for you. He's always going to help you. He's right there with you right now. If you're in one of the darkest times of your life, he's right there with you. He's your helper. Will you receive it? And be encouraged and know that he's still working in you and will continue to work in you. He's not done with you yet. He's not given up on you. Even if everyone else around you has given up on you, even if you've given up on yourself, he is still working in you, and he will always work in you, and he will never give up on you. Whatever it is this morning that you're struggling in, I encourage you just to cry out to God and seek his face in that healing process, in that restoration process, and renewing and cultivating that God confidence. God, again, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for loving us so much and the fact that you're always for us, God. And I pray for each and every person in here today, God, that you would just speak to them, God, that they would hear your voice, God, and they would respond with whatever it is that you're leading them. Wherever it is that they need to work on and shape and or just a simple promise to claim, God, in order to cultivate that confidence in you, God, I pray that they would do that today, that they wouldn't leave this place without doing business with you, God. God, speak truth in this place, God, and continue to work in the lives and the people here at LifePoint Church. In your name we pray. Amen.